Revelation chapter 3, and beginning at verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you as we do approach 9/11 for the country that you've given us. God, please help our country. Start today in this room by helping us to heed what's preached from the Word of God by the man of God to make our lives better so that we can be in effect in our own homes and in our community and hopefully to our country. God, work in our lives today. Now, Father, for that to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit and help us with thy Holy Spirit to listen and obey what's preached this morning. Father, one last thing. If there's someone in this room that does not know their sins are forgiven and they're going to heaven, I pray today before they leave this room, they would trust Jesus Christ to have eternity in heaven. I ask this thing in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I'll ask that you look up at the ceiling. You see those panels? If your cell phone goes off during the service and we hear it, the panel will slide open over the top of your head and a large red arrow will come down right over the top of your head and everyone will know it was you. So please don't embarrass yourself and make sure that your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate. We would appreciate that very much. By the way, some folks asked me about using iPads and that sort of stuff for their Bible here in the service. We want you to use the Word of God. So if an iPad will help you, that's fine. If you use your cell phone and you have your Bible on there and you just look at the Bible, that's perfectly all right. If we hear the ESPN logo song come on, you'll be drug out of here and beaten within an inch of your life. But if you need that, then please use that. Now, we're not against it. I mean, I'm old school. If you got a Bible, just bring a Bible. I like the Bible thing. But that doesn't mean you have to have one of these. So just use that. But please use the Word of God this morning. Please keep your Bibles open very carefully today. And please listen. Now, I'm going to ask you to listen very carefully this morning. Now, it is, according to my clock, it is almost noon. And church is supposed to be over now. And we're just now starting the message. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to conclude the morning message in 45 seconds. And then we're starting the second service thereafter, okay? So just stay with me on that, if you would, please. Baptists and their clock watching. It's fascinating. We read this morning from Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 says, unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write. Now listen, there are seven letters written to seven literal churches in Revelation 2 and Revelation chapter 3. Those letters were given or written to those churches almost 2,000 years ago. Those are real churches like us. Blood washed, water baptized, Bible believing assembly, a local visible assembly of people, a church. Of those seven churches, of all seven churches, there was encouragement given to those churches. There was challenge given to those churches. Most of those churches, only two, did not have to be corrected about anything. Of those churches, some of them were told they needed to fix this or fix that in their church. Basically, Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3 is the Lord Jesus Christ looking at seven churches and saying, here's what I like about your church and here's what I don't like. Here's what you need to hold on to and this is what you need to get rid of. Here's what you need to add and here's what you need to take away. And those seven churches received each one their letter and each one of them also received the other church's letters, by the way. But Philadelphia, the church in Philadelphia, not Pennsylvania, but the church of Philadelphia was the only church that was given an open door. You see that in verse number 8. Behold, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Now, I'm not going to spend the time on the Church of Philadelphia this morning, but let me just say this. Of those seven churches that existed near 2,000 years ago, by the way, some of these churches were huge churches. We'd call them mega churches today. Many of them, we have no idea how large the congregation was. But we do know this. Of those seven churches, only one exists today, and that's the Church of Philadelphia. And it's the only church that was given an open door. And Jesus said to them, I have set before thee an open door. They must have taken that. See, in the Bible, a door represents opportunity. God is telling Philadelphia church, I'm setting before you an opportunity. And notice what he said there then. I know thy works, verse 8, and behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and thou hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. They must have taken the open door God had given them. They must have taken that opportunity God put before them, because after 2,000 years and still somewhat of its primitive form, that church exists today. Only church I know that's lasted 2,000 years, because they took the opportunity God had given them. I want to take that thought this morning. I want to turn it for just a moment. And I want to talk to you about God's doors of opportunity for you. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand something today. God is in the open door business. God is in the opportunity business. God is in the business of putting before us opportunities in our lives. And it's like an open door this morning. I'll use a simple illustration today. It's like an open door. The Bible said He opens it. And the Bible says He closes the door. And God says, when I open the door, it stays open. And nobody can shut this door. God's saying, when I give you opportunities, I give you those opportunities. And nobody comes along and closes the opportunities I give you. And God says also, I want you to understand, when I close the door, it stays closed and nobody can open it. We live in an opportunistic society today. A lot of things people have opportunities for and to do. But today I want us to just take a simple thought there. And I want to talk to you about God's doors of opportunity. Do you understand this service today, right now, this service this morning, this sermon, this message is an open door to you? God is going to give you some opportunities today here. This service is an opportunity, God's door of opportunity. Your life this morning, you opened your eyes and drew a breath and got out of bed this morning. God set before you an open door of opportunity. And it's God's opening to us these opportunities, and then we must decide whether we take them or not. But we must also understand this. When God gives you an opportunity, the door does not remain open always. He gives you an opportunity and you can take it, or when God decides, He'll close the door and the opportunities are gone. First of all, consider quickly this. God calls attention to His door of opportunity. Verse 8, behold. Behold means pay attention now. Behold, I've set before you an open door. Church, listen to me now. Church, I've set before you an open door. God wants us to understand that He announces His open doors. He makes sure you understand this is the opportunity I want to give you today. This is something I'm putting before you. Notice it's before the person. Behold, I have set before you an open door. Now it's important to understand this. Listen carefully. God is not the only one in the open door business. Jonah was told by God to go to the city of Nineveh and preach against that city. And Jonah said, yes, sir. And then turned around and tried to run to the other side of the world and get away from God. By the way, that's really stupid. To hide from God. Well, I won't go to church. Trust me, God doesn't live in here. He's here when we're here, and then when we leave, He goes with us. He's everywhere. Jonah tried to run from God. But now listen, but in that day, for a person to go down to the seaside and find a ship that was going to the other side of the known world was not a common event. And the Bible said he went down and found a ship going to Joppa. That's the other, which is an Old Testament expression for Spain. That was the other side, known side of the world at the time. He found a ship that was getting away from God. And he paid the fare thereof. He actually had the money in his hand to be able to pay. Everything was working for Jonah. Everything. And he's getting, listen now, and he's getting away from God, but boom, 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 boom. Jonah's opening all kinds of doors for himself. And he's running from God, and everything's working till the storm came.